14 and verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 30. Tell your neighbors and neighbor, this is the hour of power. I came to be empowered with the word of God. There is no team ministry tonight, so you kids, we love you. There will be team ministry next week. We still got some construction that we're doing. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Don't the building look beautiful, you guys? We popped Brother Mark Alvarado on the team, and he's been finishing up the painting. Hadn't he done a great job? Amen. Amen. If I start thanking all the people that's made this happen, it'll take me all night. So let me get into the word. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Chapter 13 and verse 14. Amen. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Now let's read this scripture together on the count of three. One, two, three. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Our endeavor is to help you understand your partnership with the Holy Spirit. The word communion here is translated in the Greek as the Greek word koinonia. Somebody say koinonia. That word means a sharing together with or a partnership with. Amen. A lot of times, you know, I remember when they put that bumper sticker out as far as God being my co-pilot. And some people got offended with that bumper sticker, but the person who made that bumper sticker understood that God was their co-pilot. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. So the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to be a servant. He wants you to be a son. Somebody say a son. Now, let's look over here at John chapter 14. Just recapping. John chapter 14, verses 16, verse 17, and then verse 26. And we're going to pull out some things tonight because I went over them a couple times. I briefly started on them Sunday and I just kind of journeyed off onto something else. But I really want you to get this, okay? Now, my prayer is that you have a pencil and some paper tonight because I'm going to give you some very powerful things tonight. Amen. If you don't, you know, sign up with Brother Jason there and he'll get you a CD. I think he is selling the CDs for $5. Just sign up and he'll get you a CD. Amen. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, somebody say, I love you, Lord. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments or keep my word. He said, and I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter. Somebody say another comforter. Now, why did he say another comforter? The reason why he said another comforter to answer the question that I asked is because Jesus was their life coach at the time. The word another comforter literally means allos parakletos in the Greek. It means one who is just like me, called alongside to aid and to assist. So Jesus was saying the Holy Ghost is just like me. The job that I'm doing right now, the Spirit of God will do that same job in you and for you and with you. Okay, he's the allos parakletos. Somebody say allos parakletos, which literally means one who is called alongside to aid and to assist. So the same way if you and I, two physical people, are working together and I help you, Jesus was saying, listen, the way that I'm working with you and I'm teaching you things, the way that I'm showing you things to come, the way that I'm revealing the scripture to you, Jesus said, I got to go away. He said, and I'm going to pray and the Father's going to send you another comforter and he's going to do the same thing that I'm doing. Amen. Now, let's look down to verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Tell your neighbor, say, the world cannot receive him. Hey, you cannot receive the Holy Ghost. You have to be born by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Now look at this right here. It says, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be what? 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I want you to circle that word comfortless. That word comfortless means to be fatherless. Or to be an orphan, one translation says. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm not going to leave you without fatherhood. Amen. The Holy Spirit's job is to father us and to bring us into sonship. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Now look at this. Go down to verse 26. It says, but the comforter. Somebody say the comforter. Now notice that in verse 16, Jesus calls him the Comforter. Somebody say Comforter. And then in verse 26, Jesus calls him what? The Comforter. Somebody say Comforter. The Comforter. He ain't talking about no cover that your grandmama made. He said, a Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will do what? He will do what? He's going to teach you what? All things. Now, let's just kind of make a demonstration of what all things is. Will he teach you about how to raise your kids? Will he teach you how, what person to marry or what person not to marry? Amen. Will he teach you about your health and your physical body? Will he teach you about your wealth and finances and all that? Amen. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, sometimes we hard-headed. But nevertheless, the Spirit of God want to teach us. Amen. See, right now he's dealing with me on drinking more water. Because I don't like to drink water. I'm just being honest. I don't like to drink water, but he's dealing with me on drinking more water. Amen. And I know it's the Spirit of God because every time I turn on the TV, somebody talking about drinking water. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, Lord, I think I'll drink some water. And I'll take a glass and drink a glass of water. I'd much rather drink something else, some tea or something like that. But amen. He's teaching me on drinking water. Something as minute as that. Amen. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So the Bible here calls him the Comforter. He'll teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, I'm going to bring something out powerful here. Jesus is talking to the disciples here. And he said he's going to teach you and bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That means Holy Ghost can't teach you nothing if Jesus hadn't said anything to you. Now, we know that Jesus talks through his word, correct? That means that you have to develop a close, intimate, personal relationship with God through his word in order for the Holy Ghost to speak to you. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Bishop Oyedepo said when we were there, real powerful, he said this right here. He said, behind every scripture is God's voice. So in order for you to hear from the Holy Spirit, in order for the Spirit of God to teach you, you have to be able to meditate the word. Get the word inside your human spirit. Develop your mind and renew your mind so that, guess what? You have that spiritual reservoir of God's word. So when God starts talking, amen, you got something to pull from. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, the thing that I want to do tonight, and I've done this, but I haven't completed it. So tonight, in Jesus' name, I'm going to complete this, okay? We're going to give you the names that the Holy Spirit is called here in the Amplified Bible, and I'm going to give you scripture references to back them up, okay? And I'm going to give you one scripture reference for each name, okay? The Bible here calls him the Comforter. Somebody say the Comforter, okay? Now, the word Comforter is translated in the Amplified Bible 6 different ways. I started it Sunday, and I started it last Wednesday, and I haven't completed it at all. So tonight, we're going to complete it in Jesus' name so that when you walk out of here, you can be fortified in your faith and know the Holy Spirit that is in you can operate in these 6 different areas, okay? Now, before I go to these 6 things, I want to pull something out to help you understand the purpose of these 6 names here, okay? Now, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. This is very important. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 1, when I get there, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord, Pastor. Genesis chapter 1. I want you to look at verse 1 here, okay? We having Bible study tonight, amen? Let me tell you something that's powerful about Bible study. Because you get that word on the inside of you, and what happens is that you got something to fight back with. Okay, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was what? Without form and what? And what? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, if you look up the word void and you look up the phrase without form, it means to be empty. Somebody say empty. It means to be chaotic. One translation says nothingness. Now, this is how most of our lives have been. Or some of us feel like our lives are like that right now. Empty, chaotic, and nothingness. Okay, now watch this right here. Verse 3. And God said, let there be what? And no, my bad. I'm sorry. Verse 2. The earth was without form, void, darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Somebody say, the Spirit of God. He moved upon the face of the waters. Now, here's what I want to point to you before we go to these 6 things right here. It's the Spirit of God's job to take nothingness, chaos, and emptiness and turn it around for God's glory. And he does it through these six areas that I'm about to teach you tonight, okay? These six areas. So if you feel like there's some part of your life where you're having nothingness, emptiness, and chaos is flowing in that area of your life, you can see that the Spirit of God will work intricately and detailed in that area for you. Amen? Now, let's go back. Somebody say, he's the comforter. Now, I want you to write these six things down. Write them down, because we're going to move through them tonight in Jesus' name. We're going to equip you. Somebody say, counselor. Write counselor down. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. The second one, he's our helper. Somebody say, helper. The third one, he's our intercessor. I know I'm moving kind of fast, but I want you to get them done. Intercessor. He prays. He intercedes. Amen. Maketh intercession for the saints. I'm going to take you to the scripture so you can see it for yourself. He's our advocate. Somebody say he's our advocate. Then we have two more. He's our strengthener. Somebody say strengthener. And then the last one, he's our standby. I'm going to go back over them again. The first one, the word comforter means he's our counselor. Somebody say counselor. He's our helper. He's our intercessor. Somebody say intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our strengthener. And then he's our standby. Now, let's look through the word to just catch these right here, okay? The first one, tell your neighbor, say, he's our counselor. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. I told you on Sunday that if we spend quality time with the Holy Spirit, we won't need everybody else to counsel us. Come on, somebody say amen. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. Make it personal. Say, he's my counselor. How important is counsel for you? It's extremely important. It's so important that Psalm chapter 1 said, blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Ungodly counsel will reap ungodly results or produce ungodly results. So you have to be very cautious. Somebody say cautious. Where you get your counsel from. Where you get your advice from. The Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you something right here. Even when it comes to God's word and us as pastors, us as teachers, when we speak God's word, it should line up with what the counselor said. If it doesn't line up with what the counselor said, you don't have any obligation to receive that word. Amen. I'm going to move on, because if I don't, I'm going to get stuck. But if somebody tells you God is teaching you something in your physical body through sickness, that is not the words of the counselor. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What does it mean to be ungodly? Not like God. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Okay? Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Look what it says here. It says, but the anointing. Somebody say anointing. Which you have received of him abideth where? Tell your neighbor, say neighbor. The Holy Ghost is in me. We're going to dig deep in this teaching, I'm telling you. He's in me right now. Put your hand right here. Say, when I got born again, he's in me. He is the anointing. Watch this right here, and I'm going to show it to you in a minute. The anointing which you have received of him abideth where? And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of what? All things. How many things? All things. And is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, you shall what? Abide in him. That means when the Spirit of God teach you something, the way you abide in him is that you stay and continue in the word that he teaches you. For an example, you could take this right now that you just learned, that the Holy Ghost abides in me, and I don't need any man to teach me, but he teaches me concerning all things. There's an A side and then there's a B side. The A side is not telling you to disrespect spiritual authority or any authority. What he is telling you is that you don't need to be subjugate to the point where you need your life source coming from a man. You have the anointing on the inside of you to know about anything concerning your life, concerning your family, You have access to all of heaven, you right now. Now, in the olden days, you know, Catholicism wouldn't even allow people to have Bibles. So whatever the man said was bond. It was God's word. So it could have been evil or it could have been right. Amen. But nevertheless, the people depended upon it because that's what we were taught at that time. But now we are in a time where all of us are kings and we are priests. Amen. Unto our God. And every last one of us have the ability to tap into the anointing. Somebody say the anointing that abides in me. Now let me verify who the anointing is. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Write this down. We're going to move on. Somebody tell me what my time is. What my time is. Okay, we're doing good. We're going to move through them. Amen. Acts chapter 10. Somebody say Acts chapter 10. Verse 38. When you get there, say praise the Lord. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Let's verify who the anointing is. Y'all there? Amen. You there? On the count of three, let's read it. One, two, three. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Now back it up to part A. How God anointed. Somebody say anointed. Jesus of Nazareth with who? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the anointing. So when 1 John 2 and 27 tells you that the anointing that abides in you, he's talking about the person and the personality of the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the Holy Spirit lives in me. My God, you have the ability to know all things. So I say, know all things. Man, I can see I'm not going to get through this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Turn there. Because I want to hammer it in your spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We might get through three of them today. We're going to do our best. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Amen. We'll finish it up next Wednesday. This is powerful right here. Look at verse 9. It says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his. For the Spirit searcheth all things. They go there, all things. Ain't that powerful? See, we're not in the dark about anything. My wife and I got a situation going on, and only one other person in this church know about it. And my wife and I grabbed hands today, and we prayed, and we said, Lord, you know all things. So if this person is trying to do us wrong, we ask you, Lord God, to expose it in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. The Holy Ghost will show you things to come. Amen. That's important because, you know what I mean? You know, people nowadays, they don't even have no type of reverence, or they have no type of, come on, somebody say amen. No type of conscience nowadays, amen? They'll just do something with you and don't even care about you or your family. But come on, somebody say, we got the knower on the inside of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Holy Ghost knows all things. And my wife told me, she said, not only do we got that, we got other people around us that will help us and protect us, amen? And we got to take their advice, amen? But just at the same time, you got the knower. Somebody say the knower. And the knower will talk to other people for you. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Look at this right here. This is powerful. God has revealed them by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, even the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Watch this. Verse 12. This is the key verse right here. Circle this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that are what? Freely given to us of God. Whew. Come on, somebody say, Jesus is Lord. What is he telling you there? As you depend on the Holy Ghost as your counselor. Come on, somebody say amen. It's so easy to go to a man. It's so easy to depend on them. Listen, as your pastor, I really appreciate it when people come to me and ask me questions. But do you know what? You should be spending quality time yourself, because the same knower that's in me is the same knower that's in you. Amen. That's why we're pushing you to have a personal, close relationship with him for yourself. That's why we're calling on people to come to prayer. Amen. At least try to come once a week at 9 o'clock during the week, because we're praying every single day. day. Amen. And the more that we pray, the knower begins to uncover. He begins to reveal. He begins to show. He begins to teach. Come on, somebody say amen to this. That's what he does to us. He does it for us because he wants us to have nothing hidden in the dark. He wants us to be able to see everything that he planned for us, everything that he purposed for us. Amen. My God, ain't it beautiful to know that you can see a car accident before you get there? How about not just for yourself? Ain't it beautiful to know that you can see it for somebody else? See, the Bible talks about, man, I'm not going to get through them tonight. I'm going to tell you right now. The Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. Somebody say the gifts. See, when you become intimate with him and you fellowship with him, those gifts begin to operate in you. And now you're not just operating off of human intellect. All of a sudden, the word of wisdom began to flow. And you're talking with somebody, and then that person could be going through to make a bad decision somewhere. And you'll be like, wait a minute, the Spirit of God just spoke to me and told me to tell you, don't go do it right now. See, that's the word of wisdom. Come on, somebody say amen. See, I told somebody the other day we was praying. I told him, I said, there was a man of God by the name of Kim Clement, and we were all at a crusade in Detroit, and maybe it was here I said it, and what happened was is that a man was raising his hands, talking about how much he was fasting and everything, and Kim Clement had his eyes closed, and he put his finger in his belly, and he said, what's those three donuts I see right there? See, the Holy Ghost will help you know stuff. Is this good teaching? He'll help you know stuff. See, listen, I try to figure stuff out with my head, and my head start hurting. Ain't you tired of your head hurting? Ears get all hot and everything, trying to figure out everything. You done rationalized and configurated and did it all, and you still can't figure it all out. You just need to go somewhere and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go somewhere and worship God and spend time with the person that knows it all. Come on, somebody say amen. Man, I feel him right now. Is that good, y'all? Let's try to get another one done. We're going to try to get one more done. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, he's your helper. Turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Now, I gave you an analogy Sunday. I had somebody come up here to this podium here, and I asked them to help me, and when they went to lift it up, I didn't do anything. What you need to know here is that the Holy Ghost is not going to do it for you. Do you know that we'll never walk on natural water if we don't start taking steps in those spiritual waters that God wants us to step out on? See, there's some things, there's some people, there's some things that you're supposed to be doing. And you're stuck back here in the zone of figuring everything out. You're analyzing everything, and the Holy Ghost wants you to step out on some things that you don't understand. Come on, somebody say amen. Let me tell you something. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God but through the avenue of faith. That's why, can I tell you something? Can I be real, y'all? That's why it is so easy to be deceived nowadays. Because just like, Holy Ghost, I'm not going to get done with this. Genesis chapter 11, there were people who were capable, they were competent without God to build because of their unity. Just like that today, we have things that look like God, but the Spirit of God ain't in it. Come on, somebody say amen to this. This is important. It looks like God, but the Spirit of God ain't in it. Amen. See, you can... Psalm 127 said, except the Lord build a house, they that build it labor in vain. That means that God can build it with you, or you can build it without God. Whew. That's powerful. We need to know the Holy Ghost, don't we? How many people are spending more time talking to him now? Let's just be honest about it. I know I am. I'm like Solomon. I don't want to lead nobody wrong. I want to know him for myself. Amen. And this has been a quest, not just happened in the last couple of weeks. This has been a 20-year quest. Amen. Romans chapter 8. We're going to stop on this one right here. Verse 26. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Stop right there. Who helps our infirmities? Now, circle the word infirmities. That word infirmities means weaknesses. Now, raise your hand if you got weaknesses. Come on. Let's be honest about it. Do you got weaknesses? Now, when that weakness pop up, and you try to willpower it, God, I promise you today, God, I'm going to get up and pray. And then you sleep in. I promise you, God, I'm not going to eat that hot dog no more. Then you eat 5 hot dogs. Come on, y'all. Tell your neighbor, say, willpower don't work in the kingdom of God. Can I be real? There are people who spend their whole life exercising, thinking that they're going to save their life. Nothing wrong with exercising. Hear what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with it. We all need to exercise. I need to get my 6-pack together. We all need to exercise. I'm just trying to tell you something. But there are people who got it figured out that if I do this ingredient, and I do this ingredient, and I do this ingredient, that I'm going to be fine. The doctor's putting all those fears and stuff in them, and they continue living their life based upon fear, thinking that it's going to be all good, and they get cancer and they die at a young age. Holy Ghost spoke this to me this morning. I just want to give it to y'all. We were never created to have a choice whether we fellowship with him or not. Ephesians 2:10 says we were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Christ, we were created in the anointed one and his anointing. Right now, you and I are geographically located in the person of Christ. You can't be in Christ and exclude the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to show you something. You can't be in Christ and exclude the Holy Spirit, because you are in him. My God, just like a car can't run without gasoline, you were never created to run without the power and the grace of the Holy Ghost. Not one of us, wherever, we should be experiencing his presence every single day. Just like you got to put gas in your car, you got to put presence of God in your spirit every day. Word of God in you. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed from the mouth of God. Likewise, also the Spirit helpeth our weaknesses. See, we're just utterly weak. See, what we're doing, we're trying to figure out how we can add God to our lives, when really God just wants us to dissolve and live this new life in him, dependent upon the word, dependent upon the person of the Holy Spirit, dependent upon, you hear what I'm saying, his presence and his anointing. That's what we are created to be. Amen. My God. Tell your neighbor, say, he'll help your weaknesses. One more scripture and then I'm done. One more scripture. What's my time like? I'm probably over a couple minutes. Huh? I'm stopping right here. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Is this good teaching, y'all? Is this helping you? Amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Turn there real quick. Hebrews chapter 4. Well, we're going to have a bunch of Holy Ghost people around here. I'm telling you, you know what we pray every day? We're praying for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation every day. We're calling them out. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Amen. Discerning the spirits, gift of faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing, plural, gifts of healing. God got all kind of healing tricks in his bag. I remember Pastor Healy teaching us on the working of miracles. He said, sometimes you don't see miracles because you don't work them. You got to work them. He said, I told you to raise your hand up 3 times and turn around to the left. That's called the working of miracles. I don't know why God does it sometimes, but 1, 2, 3. And then you turn around, all of a sudden you're healed. I don't know why God do it like that. Come on, somebody say amen. It's the working of miracles. Amen. Sometimes you got to bend down a few times and feel the pain a little bit before all of a sudden, oh my God, I don't feel it no more. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. Let me end right here. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look at verse 14. Seeing then that we have what? A great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession or confession. 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our what? What's the word infirmity mean? Ooh-wee. Now he's going to give you the antidote for your weaknesses. You ready? But was in all points what? Just like we are. Now watch this. You mean to tell me, Pastor Claude, that Jesus was tempted the way I'm tempted? Yes. I can get real blunt to some of y'all and it just mess your whole head up. But Jesus was sitting down while a woman washed his feet with her hair. Tell your neighbor, say, he was all God, but he was all man. For you to sit here and tell me he didn't have thoughts about women is for you to violate human nature. I'm trying to show you something right now. But guess why Jesus had the power to overcome it? See, some people don't want to talk about this right here. The Bible said he was what? Tempted like as we are. If you read it, he was in all points. What does all points mean? What does all points mean? Come on. That means the thing that you're going through that the devil condemning you about, here's your antidote right here. I like the scripture when Jesus said he knew what was in man. They said, Lord, I'll do this for you and I'll do that for you. Jesus didn't pay it. No, never mind, because he knew what was in man. He knew that we have the ability to intend something and never even really do it. Look at this right here. Verse 16, let us therefore what? Come boldly. Now I want you to circle that word come, because that word come, 4334, is a synonym that derives from the same word 4336, prosukame or prosukame, which means to pray. So when he's telling you to come, he's telling you to get face to face with him. I'm trying to show you something right here. Watch this right here. Boldly. Why did he say come boldly? Why didn't he just say come? Why did he say come boldly? Because the word boldly means fearlessly, confidently, without reservation. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Look at that right there. That you may obtain what? Word mercy means you don't deserve it. I'm just trying to help you right here. So you mean to tell me in my undeserving position, God wants me to fearlessly come? That's right, because he knows what's in you in the first place. Jesus was capable of making the same bad choices you and I made. The book of Hebrews said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. I'm going to end it right here. It says, and find grace. Somebody say grace. Grace. To do what? In the time of need. Now here's the revelation. You ready? I know some of us are real intellectual. Some of us are real smart. And we read a lot of books and we're just so wonderful. But I want to help you right here. Ready? Every moment of your life, every day of your life, every second of your life is a time of need. Hear what I'm saying here. You need him all the time. And see what the enemy likes to do is he likes to do what he did in the old covenant. This will, and I'm finishing right here. This is just so funny. You know what I mean? We cry out, God, God, please help me. We call on the name of the Lord. All of a sudden, manna comes. And guess what we do? Oh my God, God is good. And we take and get us a bunch of bags, suitcases, car trunks and everything, and we load all the manna up, and then the next day we don't get up and praise him. You and I got to be desperate for him every day. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We got to be desperate. So he tells us to come fearlessly, confidently, boldly, without reservation before the throne of grace. Why the throne of grace? Because the Bible said the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of grace. So when you and I depend upon the person of the Holy Spirit, that grace is poured out in our human spirit. Come on, you can stand to your feet. That grace is poured out in our human spirit, and it gives us ability. Somebody say ability to continue. Amen. Somebody get the Lord a hand clap of praise. Was that good teaching? Was that good teaching? The Holy Spirit is your counselor. Somebody say he's your counselor. And then he's your helper. We only got two of them. We only got two of them tonight, but guess what? That's enough to arm you. When you wake up in the morning and life tries to beat you upside the head, he's your counselor. When you got decisions to make and you don't know what to make, guess what? Turn within. I like how Joyce Meyer said years ago, do like this, y'all. Just do this. Just turn within. Quit looking out here for your answers and turn within and say, Holy Spirit, you know all things. Can you show me some things? The Bible says in the book of Colossians that guess what? All of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ Jesus. That means everything you need is in Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the searcher. He's the greatest search engine ever. Did y'all just catch what I said? He's the greatest search engine ever. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, we thank you. Holy Spirit, we know that you are the greatest search engine ever. That everything that we need, every problem that we might have or what we might be going through, you already know it, Spirit of God. And Lord, I'm asking, Lord God, as I pray every day, God, that we will know the deep things of you. God, that we would begin to depend on you in every detailed part of our lives, Father, we pray. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to reveal yourself to this people, Lord God. Lord, I'm praying it, I'm believing it, I'm confessing it, Lord God, because, Lord God, we need you, Lord God. We need a restoration and an awakening of your presence, God, to where poor people will run to this house, to where rich people will run to this house, to where black people and Hispanic people, white people, Lord God, Vietnamese people, Lord God, all kind of people will come running here, Lord God, because your presence is here, Father. And I'm asking for that right now, Holy Ghost. Reveal yourself, God. Be the counselor for every person here. Be the helper for every person here. No matter what it is that they're asking for, Lord God, Holy Spirit, I'm praying that you counsel them and that you help them, Father God. Now I want you to put your faith towards me right now, because the Spirit of God just told me to do something. I'm gonna dismantle that lying spirit of condemnation. In the name of Jesus, I curse you, Satan. I curse thoughts of failure, thoughts of fear, thoughts of doubt, thoughts of unbelief. All of these fruit of condemnation now in Jesus' name. The blood is against it right now. Now, Father, I thank you. They're free to worship you, free to serve you, Lord God, free to sing to you, free to adore you, Jesus. I thank you for tonight, Lord God, right now. Come on, just give him praise. Cry out to him right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. We glorify you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I'm asking, Lord, for a special anointing, a special grace upon your people, God, that as they go out to their work.